no tax.
Lots of interesting things happening in Washington, D.C., but there's always that buzz that comes out of the Capitol. Joining us now, Victoria Jones from Talk Radio News. We love chatting with her. She's got the skinny on just about everything there, including the cherry blossoms, the thing that I've been now calculating every day. Please tell me they're still alive.
They are still alive. There are some blossoms that have been blown down, but I think the cherry blossoms are still okay. But, you know, TikTok.
Thank you. I'm arriving at 10 o'clock on Saturday, so Saturday morning.
Oh, Sunday morning, bright and early.
Perfect. Hey, Paul Ryan, speaking of bright and early, he was announcing that he was going to do this Republican budget and pump it out there days ago. So now Ryan's defending, saying that not every tax deduction would have to be eliminated to get the tax code back into a couple of different brackets. I can only imagine the reaction to Ryan and the Republicans' budget. What was Jay Carney saying at the White House?
Well, I have to be honest and say that I was not at the White House today. However, White House Communications Director Dan Pfeiffer put out a statement on behalf of the White House, and it was scathing. Just read you an excerpt. That the House budget once again fails the test of balanced fairness and shared responsibility. He said it would shower the wealthiest of Americans with an average tax cut of at least $150,000, preserving taxpayer giveaways for oil companies and hedge fund managers. And he says what's worse is that it does all this. It would be paid for by undermining Medicare and the very things we need to grow our economy, things like education and basic research. And then he says instead of strengthening Medicare, that it would end Medicare as we know it and end the guarantee of entitlement security and turn it into a voucher system. So it's pretty scathing.
Pretty scathing, but no chance of really going anywhere anyway, right?
No, because it's not going to go anywhere through the Senate. And there's another interesting wrinkle, which is that this is a potential wrinkle, which is that tomorrow morning at 10:30, it's going to stop in the House Budget Committee, which has a majority of Republicans. But interestingly, of course, to vote against it.
Whoops. I think we lost Victoria.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I've got you. Oh, we can pick it up. I'll have him edit it. You were talking about what they're doing tomorrow. You were dropping out somehow.
Yeah.
The other part of the wrinkle.
Yes, but interestingly, there may be a rebellion by very conservative House Republicans on the Budget Committee because they don't think that the budget is conservative enough. They don't like the top line of a little over a trillion. They think it should be down around 900 billion odd, and they think that it lowers the deficit too slowly, and they might vote against. Some of them might vote against. Obviously, there's a lot of pressure on them today to get them in line. If they lose three Republican votes, that thing won't get out of committee.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so that probably gets stuck in committee, probably doesn't move in committee, but is an interesting slant to that. The Supreme Court just down the street, huge on juvenile killers. What now happens moving forward legally?
Well, what happens is they heard the case today of two young men in prison for life without the possibility of parole. One of them wasn't even the trigger man, and life without the possibility of parole. There are 79 of these juvenile killers who will die in prison, and so they're now going to consider the constitutionality of it. They threw out the constitutionality of the death penalty for juveniles in 2005 and struck it down. Life without parole for non-homicide crimes for juveniles 2 years ago. So we'll hear in the summer, probably, what they think about this one. And it's looking as though they will probably make some kind of changes to this. They sounded troubled.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll look for the summer, ultimately, as they go through this one. Kind of like healthcare, which we'll be talking about a lot next week. Insider trading, though, that's the name of the game for the Senate. They're taking up, what, the House's version of this, Victoria?
Yeah, this is really interesting. Apparently, Harry Reid, Senate Majority Leader, wants to get this done by the Easter recess, and he's going to take up the bill to bar lawmakers from trading stocks based on insider information, but it depends on political intelligence gathering. That was in the Senate passed bill, and it was struck from the House bill by House Republican leadership. And there was a lot of pressure on him to go to a conference to reconcile the two bills, and he's not done that. And this is going to be really very unpopular, the feeling that he's caved. He says that that there would be an objection to going to conference by consent. We tried it and tried it. We can't break through that. Now, big question is, what is Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa, going to do? Because this was his amendment, and I think that he could kick up a stink about this.
Ooh, all right, we'll watch for that. Something that you brought up, and in fact, you shot me a great note about this. We talk about Pakistan all the time on America Tonight in relationship to Afghanistan and our relationship with Pakistan since getting bin Laden, and how red-faced the Pakistani government, I think, was over this. You mentioned to me in your note that you asked Jay Carney at the White House about the relationship with the Pakistani government, because they were meeting to talk about their relationship with the United States. And what was his answer?
Well, he said that we have a complicated relationship with the Pakistanis, and he basically waffled. He didn't really say anything more than that. I mean, I said, what is your message to the Pakistanis? They have this meeting, which was today. And he didn't have a message to the Pakistanis.
Yeah. So, I think Victoria, do we still have you?
Yes, you have me.
You just keep dropping out there at the end. And the last thing is in relationship to that, talking about the drones and about the drone attacks, because this has been the thing that's really stuck in the crawl, certainly the night raids with Afghanistan and what the situation is there. Is the U.S., they're curbing the night raids, correct?
Yes, U.S. are curbing the night raids. They're basically going to be clearing them with Afghans before they do the night raids. This is very interesting, because there's going to have to be quite a level of trust with the Afghans that nobody's going to be tipped off, which I'm sure that they feel that there is. But they will be clearing night raids with the Afghans before eventually handing night raids over to the Afghans themselves.
That is interesting. We'll see what that timetable's like. Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, so moving from Victoria in Washington and what's happening there, the people who want to occupy Washington, the Republicans, in another primary, this time Illinois was the battleground state. Not much of a turnout, but Mitt Romney rolled in easily, winning this one. That it wasn't a surprise if you looked at the projections and the polls. And, of course, we did here on America Tonight. We talked about it in our previous show. So Romney wins Illinois, and it's just the delegate race that we've been talking about all along. It's a matter of numbers, and once you hit the magical number and you win the golden ticket, that means the coronation in Tampa, Florida. Who's going to knock Mitt Romney off? At this point, certainly we don't see anybody. But I'll give you the numbers anyway, looking at the delegates. We're going to talk about that on the flip side. Oh, yeah, a little math. Stay with us. Heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Are you having trouble paying your mortgage? Maybe your mortgage loan is upside down or in foreclosure. Maybe the bank already foreclosed on you. Don't sit around being a victim of bank fraud. Fight back. We have the tools to help you fight back. Here's how. Go to InspectorAudit.com and click on the GCN Radio Special. Order a summary audit. Find the real truth about your loan.
Maybe like me, you'll find your bank loan was paid off already. Maybe, like me, you'll find your bank defrauded you at the closing. And maybe, like me, you will go after them.
Did you know 78% of home loans in the last 10 years violated consumer credit laws? We should not let the banks get away with this fraud. Go to InspectorAudit.com and click on the GCN Radio Special. Order a summary audit today and find the truth about your mortgage loan. That's InspectorAudit.com or call 855-373-4948. That's 1-855-373-4948.
Let's give you the numbers. Mitt Romney, 47% of the vote to Rick Santorum's 35% of the vote. This is Illinois. As I said, the turnout was pretty low, and it's all about the numbers anyway. In looking at the delegates, who has the most delegates wins, we know that Mitt Romney, it's the same old theme that we keep going over again and again and again and again. So let's not do that. I'll just tell you the numbers. I just gave you the numbers pretty much there of the two that are battling it out for the most part. I know that there's a soft spot in many of your hearts for Ron Paul. We've been down that road. He's not going to win the Republican nomination, no way, no how, even though there certainly is a lot of passion for Ron Paul. The passion doesn't show up when it comes to the primary. So 1,144 is the magical number. Mitt Romney has 562 delegates, give or take a few here and there. Rick Santorum, rather, 249. Newt Gingrich, 137. Ron Paul, 69. So we keep on keeping on here in March, the end of March, then into April. Probably not officially a declared candidate, however, until May or June, if everyone's hanging around and staying in this. Coming up next, just for grins, I'll tell you what's on the map. Illinois, now in the rearview mirror. The 24th is Saturday, the primary in Louisiana. And then March 31st, Arizona has its Democratic, actually, caucuses. So on the 31st in Arizona. Then we move on from that to April and May, like I said. In June, it'll be interesting. But, you know, who wants to be president? apparently all four are still in it, but the man who has the numbers is Mitt Romney. So we keep coming back, circling around, saying the same things. Mitt Romney is the establishment guy, and even with the fervor and passion of the youth that are following Ron Paul and others, it's just not enough to make Mitt Romney go away. So he does his speech. He thanks Illinois, and the rest is history. The former Massachusetts governor has had the double-digit lead over Rick Santorum. In the meantime, what is the president, the current president, doing? We've been talking about the pain at the pump for now really a month and a half. We keep seeing it tick up across the land no matter where you live. Even if you're getting gas at a much cheaper price than our friends in Los Angeles, you're still paying probably too much and you're not happy about it. You know, this is pretty much a unified agreement. Nobody's happy with what they're paying and everybody's complaining about gas. So the president is announcing in Cushing, Oklahoma on Thursday that they're going to expedite the permit process for that southern portion anyway of the Keystone Pipeline. How about that? Remember in January, they denied the permit for the entire thing, the 1,700 miles of it, which would stretch from the tar sands in Canada to our Gulf Coast. And we all said, what's the beef? Especially after your energy secretary said, yeah, absolutely, amen. So last month, TransCanada, the company behind the pipeline, said it's going to move forward with the process to build that southern area, which is where Obama's going to be, and it starts in Cushing. So this is the third stop, by the way, on a two-day energy tour. That's the name of the game, pushing energy, and a lot of it happens to be green energy. So, you know, is he going to bowl us over with something new? I mean, there's rumors about saying that there's a bottleneck and the president's going to say that he's going to figure out a way around the red tape for whatever that means. At least we know that the southern portion of it's going to be built, but the entire pipeline would make such a difference because the Gulf states are where the bulk of the refinery stuff is. And, you know, then ultimately it's about all that infrastructure delivering gasoline and getting it out there. So, you know, who is the pipeline going to benefit and what's going to happen after that? And, you know, we go on and on around the same carousel as well when we talk about oil and we talk about gas. So it's crazy. I mean, why did he block the pipeline in the first place? And now it's election year. Now he's getting hammered. So is there a chance that, you know, he may flip-flop a little bit on it, maybe somehow try to satisfy the tree-hugger types and the rest of us gas guzzlers? Because that's what we have. We're a nation of gas guzzlers. There aren't a lot of alternatives out there. It's not working. I don't have any neighbors that have windmills. I doubt many of you do. Now, solar panels, a few here and there, but other than that, it's not readily available, and going down that lane is just like beating our heads against the wall. It's not possible. It's not possible on a grand scale right now. In fact, if I were trying to predict, a serious alternative to gasoline, here's a great question. What do you think that timetable would be, realistically? Not what you might like it to be, not where you think it should be. Realistically, how far are we away from a solid alternative to being a gas only, being a petroleum only country? I mean, yeah, there are a little bit of other alternatives, but not on a big scale. On a big scale, I would say probably we are looking, if we're at 20, I was trying to think of a number today, if we're at 2012, I think a realistic number for massive availability, I'm going to say, is 2030. So I'm saying a lot of years from now. I'm saying almost two decades from now. I mean, like in Brazil, where you can flip a switch and you don't have to rely on gas. We're at least that far away. Not just for a few. not just for people who have big bucks, who can have a gas-guzzling car and then have an electric car that they also drive around. I don't mean that. I mean it is a viable option for your family to, when we'll stay with cars, to ride in something other than a car that takes gasoline. It's affordable. It's really, truly affordable. 2030. That's what I think. Hey, coming up next on America Tonight, each and every Tuesday we talk to our pal Stephen Shohat on the left coast from Hollywood. And each week we also do the cheap movie reviews. There was a couple of movies that had a lot of advertising, like a movie called John Carter. And there was the familiar hero who was one of the actors on Friday Night Lights, but not a known actor, kind of a B-list actor. He was the star of this movie that really flopped. And then you have 21 Jump Street, and 21 Jump Street did much better at the box office. So just like politics, why do people pick certain things? There's winners and losers. At the movies, there's winners and losers, and sometimes it has to do with the acting. Favorite actors or maybe familiar plot going back to the 80s and a television show and striking a nerve with a guy kind of flick. Maybe that was what the difference was. But anyway, we're going to chat with Stephen Shohat coming up. He's in our green room right now, guzzling down, I think, his third Red Bull. Coming up after that, we're going to talk about the Florida legislature actually okaying a new law allowing people to use deadly force to do what they think they should be able to do, protect themselves no matter where they are, no matter where they are. Now you have a 17-year-old man or boy who was killed going to the store to get Skittles and a drink. And there's a lot of controversy over the vigilante who ended up shooting him. Arrest might happen, may never happen. A lot of people defending the guy who shot him. This is seriously a massive controversy that people are talking about across the board. So we're going to talk about that in our final segment. Hang with us.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boosts resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
These are strange days indeed, from economic turmoil to weather-related events, and yes, even power outages. Hi, everybody. Jason Lewis here. Let me tell you why I use WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com provides the most affordable and complete ready-made meals for emergency preparedness and outdoor use. Their entrees like pasta Alfredo, savory stroganoff, and apple cinnamon cereal carry a 25-year shelf life and are prepared in minutes simply by adding water. They even provide great-tasting a la carte items like freeze-dried fruits, vegetables, edibles and desserts to ensure that you have more nutrition and energy when you need it most. Visit wisefoodstorage.com today to request a free entree sample and see for yourself why they are the best in the business. For a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's wisefoodstorage.com or call 1-855-FOODWISE and be sure to mention the promo code Lewis for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Be wise and be ready with wisefoodstorage.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit herbalhealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. Herbalhealer.com, working with the power of nature.
It's, it obviously starts with, you know, the right to remain silent. I know you've heard this before. And then I think it sounds something like, you have the right to remain an attorney.
Did you say that you have the right to be an attorney?
You do have the right to be an attorney if you want to.
Hey, everybody. You love this segment. We're talking Hollywood and stories. 21 Jump Street at the box office really jumped up. $36.3 million over the weekend. We did our cheap movie review. I thought it would do well because of the nostalgia aspect, perhaps, and the fact that you had a couple of popular leading men who were doing this movie. And Jonah Hill, boy, his star has really risen. A lot of Jonah Hill fans out there. And so I think for that alone, you could probably pull in a bunch of people. Either way, it certainly resonated. Now, John Carter was another movie that went the opposite direction at the box office. So who better to explain? How do you determine? It's like a dartboard and you start throwing the darts. How do you determine what's going to do well and what's going to flop? So with that, let's bring in our man in Hollywood, Stephen Shohead. Hey, Stephen, how are you?
Hey, Kate, how you doing?
Good. 21 Jump Street had a nice opening, and Jonah Hill has kind of hit the fame bug. You know, he's been in a lot of movies lately. He has a lot of fans. Do you think part of it is because of the actors that were in it?
Sure. I mean, they're, you know, having the Academy Award nomination, Channing Tatum doing well with his movies lately, like The Vow. I think definitely that's definitely a factor. I I think also one thing that they did that was smart, that Jonah Hill did, he didn't really make it like the TV show. I mean, the TV show, even though some of the episodes might be thought of as cheesy, but when they had it, it was serious police work being done and very, very dark in some instances, talking about, you know, abortion and drugs and all sort of prejudice, all sorts of things being done back in that 80s TV show. And I don't think the characters were really fighting for an identity. Well, with this movie, what you have is the characters are they didn't have a good time in high school. So going back to high school is an emotional journey of self-discovery for them. And I think that's kind of appealing. I think Jonah Hill, when he wrote the script and he spent 5 years writing it, was thinking a little bit back to the future, going back in time, rather than just solving the cases. And of course, they're trying to make this one a complete comedy, which is not something the original show did.
Yeah, and it and this is just the first week, so who knows where it goes from there. It seems to me, Stephen, the one thing I've noticed is, boy, when a movie flops, they get it out of the theaters pretty quickly, don't they?
Well, there's so much competition right now, especially with 3D movies, and of course, if you have a movie in IMAX, you know, it's very limited. And of course, yeah, I mean, obviously the movie theater owners want to make money, as much money as possible, and there's limited space. Now, that being said, Disney with John Carter is sort of announcing this a little bit early, earlier than they normally would, probably, what a flop it is. I mean, usually there might be some bravado saying, oh, well, we'll make our money overseas, and we feel the movie has legs. No, they're announcing right now that it's practically the biggest flop of all time. And there might be creative accounting involved with $200 million being the projected loss with the money they spend on prints and advertising. But yeah, that'll definitely make the movie theater owners want something else in the theater pretty quick that's more lucrative.
Yeah, we have a little clip of John Carter. Let's roll that clip so everyone can hear it.
The gates of his.
What if I could take you there?
What if I didn't trust you?
Then we'd be even. I can take you to the gates. To the answers that you seek. A way back to Jasu.
Earth.
It's the least I could do to repay you for getting us out of here. Assuming that you can.
Go on. Shake it. It's a sign of trust. Good enough.
Yeah, but not good enough, as Stephen was just saying, for the box office. Could be a little acting thing, I don't know. That little clip was a little bit revealing for me, I must say. So do you think the wave of the future is the 3D and the more animated films, because they seem to be really scoring?
I'll tell you, it's very interesting. The LA Times came out with an article today that said executives in Hollywood have never been so unsure as what's going to be a success as they are now. So when you consider that the cinema's been around for 110 years, I mean, that's a pretty daunting statement. And here you have John Carter. I mean, even now it's just fascinating to see all the reasons why are being put forth why it didn't succeed. I mean, Taylor Kitsch, from the TV show Friday Night Lights being the star, people are saying maybe that's the issue, and maybe it would have done better if it would have had a major star in it. Some people are saying that Mars in and of itself is too barren of a setting, that people are turned off by the desert setting, the desert-like setting that seems to be the main focus of the movie. Some people are saying that Andrew Stanton, who directed and was the creative force behind Finding Nemo and some of the Toy Story movies, never directed a live action picture before. So there's all sorts of reasons why people are coming up. And a lot of people have liked the movie, by the way. So there are all sorts of reasons why people are coming up with as to why this movie has been so disappointing, at least initially at the box office. Some people are even saying that they were originally going to call it John Carter of Mars, which is closer to the Edgar Rice Burroughs title. And then Andrew Stanton thought Mars would be off-putting, so he eliminated the Mars from the title. But if you want people to come and see a movie about Mars, or at least it takes place on Mars, maybe you should let them know what it's going to be about. So it's hard to say. I mean, yeah, 3D movies will be continued. They'll continue to make them, but it certainly doesn't guarantee success. I think one thing that I read that was really interesting too. It was a good point. There was a lack of rooting interest. I mean, you might think 21 Jump Street is a dumb movie, but again, the two guys are disappointed with how high school went for them. One guy's sensitive about being a nerd, the other guy's sensitive about not being smart enough, and they're trying to overcome those things and become more fulfilled or more confident as the story goes along. Whereas, as people have said, with John Carter, you don't really have that strong rooting interest. And it used to be that movies followed a formula that the first 10 minutes you get the hero in a tree, the next 100 minutes you throw rocks at the tree, and the last 10 minutes you get the hero down from the tree. And it doesn't seem like that's being followed as much these days. When you get right down to it, identification with the main character is such a crucial thing. Maybe that's one reason why the movie hasn't done as well.
Yeah. So you, and then I wonder if you have an actor, you mentioned Taylor Kitsch, the guy from Friday Night Lights. If you're the lead actor and a movie like this bombs, he gets a huge chance, how much does that hurt him in Hollywood?
Well, he's very sensitive about it. I mean, there was a story that came out that one of his friends was joking about it and he didn't like the joke. I mean, it's obviously, I mean, this is kind of unprecedented, $200 million. So yeah, he's got Battleship coming out. So it could all turn around for him. And certainly there have been actors Christopher Walken was in Heaven's Gate, and then, his career did fine afterwards. So you just never know. But it certainly is not the moment where he's going to be generating heat, where he's going to be the first name that major blockbuster producers think of, because the movie hasn't done well. But that's such a subjective thing. I mean, look at Jeff Goldblum when he was in Independence Day and he was in Jurassic Park. He never got the credit for the multi-million-dollar successes of those movies. And when he wanted more money, he was basically rejected. But then you have a guy like Johnny Depp, who when he was in Pirates of the Caribbean, his choice to play the character of Captain Jack Sparrow the way he did, that character was written as a action-adventure, swashbuckling-type character, and Johnny Depp infuriated his bosses by playing it in sort of the non-serious way, but the public fell in love with him, and now I don't think they'd make a Pirates movie without him. So certainly there's a perception as to how much credit or blame that actors deserve, but I don't think it's a good moment for Taylor Kitsch, that's for sure.
Yeah, no kidding. A great moment for you, my friend, though. Stephen Shohead, pick up his book, Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Stephen.
Oh, you got it, Kate.
All right, so DVDs coming out this week. Tuesday is DVD day, by the way. The Muppets. There was a lot of buzz over the Muppets. That was serious box office bank. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I saw it. I read the book. It was a pretty good movie. Really good movie. Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. Didn't see it. Battle Royale also coming out. There are your DVD movies this week. Stay with us. Coming up on the flip side, we got so much more here on America Tonight.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. Extend your life with
Extendivite. Are you having trouble paying your mortgage? Maybe your mortgage loan is upside down or in foreclosure. Maybe the bank already foreclosed on you. Don't sit around being a victim of bank fraud. Fight back. We have the tools to help you fight back. Here's how. Go to InspectorAudit.com and click on the GCN Radio Special. Order a summary audit. Find the real truth about your loan.
Maybe like me, you'll find your bank loan was paid off already. Maybe, like me, you'll find your bank defrauded you at the closing. And maybe, like me, you will go after them.
Did you know 78% of home loans in the last 10 years violated consumer credit laws? We should not let the banks get away with this fraud. Go to InspectorAudit.com and click on the GCN Radio Special. Order a summary audit today and find the truth about your mortgage loan. That's InspectorAudit.com or call 855-373-4948. That's 1-855-373-4948.
Have you ever seen a U.S. postage stamp featuring Abraham Lincoln, Ben Franklin, or George Washington? If you're into stamp collecting, you know it's a fun, affordable hobby. America's leading stamp dealer is the Mystic Stamp Company, and they want you to have their free 140-page color catalog. Go to mysticstampad.com, the website of the Mystic Stamp Company, serving stamp collectors since 1923. Mystic Stamp is well known in the industry for its experience, superior customer service, and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Go to mysticstampad.com to request your free 140-page U.S. stamp color catalog packed with collecting tips, special offers, color photos, and over 4,600 available stamps. Call 800-433-7811 or go to mysticstampad.com. That's 800-433-7811 and ask for your free U.S. stamp catalog or mysticstampad.com. Mystic Stamp Company, America's leading stamp dealer.
Heading for the exits, but we got some good stuff packed in here, including a debate over a Florida law. Did it protect a shooter too much in this case? We're going to get to that in just a second. I mean, the phone lines in Florida talk radio are exploding all over the place. You can't talk about anything else in the Sunshine State besides this Trayvon Martin deal, and it's a doozy, I'm telling you. But I feel remiss if I don't mention this because Mother Nature is always shaking, quaking, doing all kinds of stuff to us. And Mexico City felt a long 7.6 quake that slammed into them on Tuesday. Really, central and southern parts of that country swayed. Buildings in Mexico City, it's a scary thing when you see a building sway. Plaster fell from ceilings, windows broke. But there were no reports of any major damage, which is shocking when you hear 7.6. Now, to be sure, the 7.6 was not centered right in the heart of Mexico City, which that makes a difference. You know, where is the fault? Where did it originate? that makes a difference. 7.6, if you had a 7.6 in L.A., you know, pick a place, Malibu, whatever, you'd have people that would be crushed to death. There's no question about it. So what happened was it really shook people up. But you had even aftershocks that people could feel in the Capitol. You had people that were pouring into the streets. I saw a picture and it looked like, you know, everybody was just kind of hanging out and didn't know what to do. The quake, they felt it a little bit stronger in the southern part of Mexico, outside of Mexico City. And part of that is because of, again, part of that was because of where it was centered. So it didn't initiate in Mexico City. Didn't initiate there. And that, as you all know, is what you're looking for. Where did it start? Where was the fault line? Where did it hit? And then where did it spread? The intensity of the first quake, the epicenter was 11 miles underground. The aftershock, 5.1, I saw somewhere. So telephones went down and buildings swayed. But it is a lucky thing that there wasn't something that happened that was much more serious. You just think back in your mind to the Northridge quake in L.A. What happened in the Bay Area in 89 was terrible. People were commuting home from work, and cars literally just veered off the bridge, the Oakland Bridge, and it was awful, the aftermath there, buildings toppling and whatnot. But here, I think they got a little bit lucky, to say the least. All right, something else happening, and it's what we talked about. The top of the show, I mentioned, if I were asked, and I asked all of you this question, I want you to really think about it the next couple of days. When do you really believe, when do you envision that we will have another alternative to gasoline that's viable, that's not going to cost you an arm and a leg? And I said, I revealed my number to be 2030. I think by 2030, there will be a serious alternative, whether it is electric cars and they just run on electricity or something else. I've seen nuclear power would be big, but I don't know that that's going to be embraced. And there's development of ethanol, but again, not enough ethanol plants, not widely available, very expensive to make, unlike in Brazil, where they have sugarcane, massive amounts of sugarcane, and that's what's used to produce ethanol in that country. So they're ahead of the game there. Trayvon Martin is a name that you're going to be hearing, I think, for a long time to come. People are running around with their cars now that have big letters that say no justice for Trayvon. And the issue here is a vigilante or a self-appointed neighborhood watch guy who decided to track down Trayvon, and makes no sense in a way, because he called 911, told them what he believed was happening, and decided that, you know, he was going to follow him. And they told him, here it was a gated community, and they told him, this George Zimmerman was the guy's name, that he needed to back off, that they would send police out. He said something doesn't seem right or whatever. And here Trayvon Martin was just a teenager who had no weapons, no anything, shot and killed, getting some Skittles and something to drink. He had a hoodie on, like any other teenager, was walking down the street, and George Zimmerman, the neighborhood watchman, was following him because he thought he was dressed in his sweatshirt. He looked suspicious. I hate to tell Zimmerman, but my 9-year-old nephew wears hoodies. I wear hoodies. Do you wear hoodies, America?
I'm wearing one right now.
Exactly. Exactly. I probably wear them too much. I'm wearing the hoodies. Putting the hoodie up right now. What do I look like walking down the street? I mean, come on. Give me a break. This guy's a nutball is what he is. A 28-year-old who's going to wiggle out of this thing. He was carrying a gun. He just needed to back off. That's the main thing. So he was itching for something here. And this is in Sanford, Florida. It was a gated community. So the police are not charging him. The state attorney's office is saying they're going to have a grand jury next month to investigate the case. The cops aren't doing anything, because here's the thing. They really can't. They really can't. They have to, at this point, listen to his argument, because his argument was that he was acting in self-defense, even if this kid was more threatened. Because you think about it, you're a 17-year-old kid, some guy's busting your chops, comes up, starts giving you a bunch of crap and nonsense about why you're there, then he pulls a gun on you. And then what happens? Unfortunately, in Florida, 2005, this is when this kicked in, it permits anyone anywhere to use deadly force against somebody if they believe their safety or life is in danger. And how do you prove? See, this is a tough one anyway, because how do you prove it on the other side of this, that it wasn't justified? Is it good common sense? Does it make sense? And the problem is, I'm sure this could be used to help somebody. Because you think of how cockamamie some of the other laws are. I know I've told this story before, and this is a true story. This is like no embellished story whatsoever. I lived in Las Vegas for a short period of time. I was doing a syndicated sports talk show. Loved it. Loved the people I worked with, everything. Lived in a gated community. It was pretty cheap, let me tell you, in Vegas, as you can imagine then. So you didn't have to be a millionaire to live in any gated community, by the way. So I lived in a gated community with a guard at the front of, and it was apartments, at the front of the apartments. And I had a kick door robber who, luckily, as he was kicking the door in the second time, it was like 3 a.m, I got up. And so when the door went in, I yelled and scared him, and he scrambled away. Turns out he had ripped off a bunch of other people. It was an inside job, all that other sort of stuff. The cops come, and they're really nice. They're asking me all these questions, what he looked like, all this stuff. And, you know, I barely got a glimpse. But what the one cop told me, he said, listen, I'm going to tell you this. He said, off the record, you need 2 guns. You need to learn how to use a gun. You need a gun. And you need a gun that doesn't have a serial number on it. Why? Because if he had been at the door and I had shot him, and he had no gun, then they're going to charge me if he's not in the house. It's like, are you kidding me? So not only would you be shook up by, you know, you're pulling the trigger because you think you're defending yourself, and then you have to be worried about planting a gun on somebody, and he was so serious. So in Florida, they don't have to do that. So someone's threatening you, boom, boom, out go the lights, in a sense. But here's what happens when you have a nut like this Zimmerman. Somebody needs to tell him that everyone wears hoodies. White kids, black kids, Hispanic kids, you know, all kinds of kids, all kinds of people wear hoodies. So now, this is the other thing. Justifiable homicides in Florida have more than tripled from just over 30 to more than 100 in 2010. That's a statistic, that's the most they have. So, you know, this is that whole thing about stand your ground and, you know, the right and the wrong. This is a tough one. I think Zimmerman needs to be charged, absolutely. And I defend the Second Amendment rights because I am for the right to bear arms, to have guns. I don't want to see that right go away. And unfortunately, this was manipulated thanks to this nut in Florida.
Can I put a gun rack on my bike?